If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter 2. From the book of Psalms, 61st Psalm, verse 2, we find this thought. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, dismayed, confused. Some have said that going through this period of time right now in our country's history is overwhelming with the coronavirus issues and the race issues and other things. But let's go to the Lord and ask Him to be with us. Now, if you would, the book of James chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Evil thoughts, when we show favoritism. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come at this hour, thinking of our need to love you, help us, Lord, to do that, to realize what a privilege it is to serve the Lord of the universe. We thank the Lord for the salvation we have through Jesus Christ. And we ask this in His holy name and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of James, we find first the testing of our faith. I asked the morning group how their faith was. And how is your faith today? A second, there is the test of obedience. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How important it is that children are obedient to their parents. And yet how important it is that we who are children of the Lord are obedient to Him. Be ye doers of the word. It's one thing to hear the assignment. It's another thing to do it. Third, there's the test of true religion, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And yet, how is that possible when so many are wallowing in the quagmire of sin, going to the places that are wrong? Chapter 2 begins with the test of brotherly love. And may I say this, love is not easy. It's a hard thing to do, to love someone. Verse 1 says that we are not to show favoritism. Verse 9, we are not to have respect to persons, for that is sin. How often we like recognition and honor, wanting to be praised. How many seek the top of the pyramid, not only in politics, industry, and society, but also even in the church? I remember a time when I had done something of note and people were patting me on the back, and I must admit I liked it. And it's one of those things where you move your back over so they can pat you again. And as the conversation then moved on to other topics, I was semi-disappointed. I was not done. I wanted a few more pats on the back. And then someone showed up that hadn't been part of the conversation, and I wanted them to tell this new one what I had done. And when no one did, I then myself tried to move the conversation to that point without success. How often we want to be recognized. But Jesus was not impressed with the outward appearance. He looked at the heart. He looks at our attitude. He looks at the reason that we do what we do. He was not impressed with riches or social status. Matthew 22, verse 16 says, "Thou teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men." He didn't look at them and say, "Oh, look how nicely they're dressed," or "Look how intelligent they are." He looked on their heart. The poor widow who gave her mite was greater in his eyes than the rich Pharisee who boastfully gave his large donation. Jesus saw the potential in sinners, be it the adulterous woman at the well or the religious Saul of Tarsus. He realizes what could be done. What could be done in your life and my life for the cause of Christ. The book of Isaiah chapter 53, and you may want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 53, keeping your place in James 2, we will be back. But Jesus was despised and rejected of men. Let me find it here in Isaiah chapter 53. It says, "Who hath believed our report," there in verse 1, "and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." How often in our world today, even as believers, if it becomes inconvenient or an embarrassment, we despise and reject our Lord. And it happens all the time. How often we are quick to judge by one's dress or fashions or color of skin or other superficial things. Many today would reject Jesus if he was here in our midst. Jesus was not politically correct. He did not dress in fine dress. He did not have the best of chariots or the greatest of animals to ride. He was simply a man who had been a carpenter, who had not even gone to be educated. And so many would reject him, even in our society today, and many do. Verses 5 through 7, we find the grace of God back in the book of James. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "But ye have despised the poor." Can I say this, that God does not love America more than third world countries? Oh, we have been blessed beyond measure. And may one know this and remember this, to whom much is given, much is expected. God loves all men and women. All. The majority of missionaries go to the poor sections of towns first, because they are more willing to listen to the word of God. "Do not the rich blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called, that of being a Christian. And I tell you this, in today's world, Christianity is being mocked and blamed for so many things and the ills of society. We're mocked and treated poorly. The Bible tells us how hard it is for the rich to enter heaven because they have put their trust in their money, in their riches, which is here for a while and then soon gone. And you can't take it with you to heaven. But thank God His grace is offered equally to the poor as well as to the rich. And you that are rich should be thank God that He offers His grace to you also. Verses 8 through 11, we find the Word of God. If ye fulfill the loyal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Our lives are the best defense of the Word of God. They say, well, what do you mean, Pastor Paul? Actions speak louder than words. If we believe the Word of God, then we need to do the teachings of the Word of God. And so you defend the Word of God by your actions. But if all you do is read it on a Sunday morning, but then do not follow it, you are not defending the Word of God. Actions speak louder than words. James reaches back into the Old Testament for one of God's laws. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Leviticus 19, verse 18. In his parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus told us that our neighbor is anyone who needs our help. The love of God is important, and the love of our neighbor is also important. Why is love thy neighbor called the royal law? Well, God the Father gave it, and God the Son reaffirmed it to his disciples when he said, a new law I give you that ye love one another. Now, I have said on many occasions that it is not easy to love. Many times we think that we're going to love somebody, but then they do something that is contrary to what we want or what we think is necessary or true. And that love begins to quickly turn to bitterness and even hatred. Love is hard. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't love. We are commanded to love. But there's a second reason. It is called the royal law. In Romans 13, verse 10, it says, love is the fulfilling of the law. When Jesus Christ came and walked here on the earth, He fulfilled the law. He kept every part of the Ten Commandments and all the other precepts and other teachings that we find in the Pentateuch. It is the fulfilling of the law. How many laws could come off the books if we would learn to love one another? If we would learn to not be jealous of others and not to wish that we always had the best of everything and that they should take second place. No, the Lord loves all men. Just as the song says, red and white, yellow, whatever the song words, it comes miss me right now. But the fact is He loves each and every one. Warren Wiersbe suggests that love enables us to obey the Word of God, while hatred, bitterness, jealousy, and anger makes us slaves to sin. Let me reread that. Love enables us to obey the Word of God, while hatred, bitterness, jealousy, and anger makes us slaves to sin. If we love the Lord, truly love Him, we will do what He says. What does the law show? What do the Ten Commandments show to us? Chiefly, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners in need of salvation. And we can be saved through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. If one were to go to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, you would find that the Ark was not made for 8 people. It was made for hundreds of people. When Jesus Christ died, he did not die simply for a small remnant of people. He died for all mankind. Unfortunately, most will not follow and trust in him. See, there are saved sinners and lost sinners. And maybe even watching right now that there are those who are saved sinners, born again, Bible believers, and then there are those who may be religious, but have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are a lost sinner, doomed and damned for the pit of hell. The Lord gives us the opportunity to be saved, and it's not through our good works. It's not through any merit that we have done, but it's through trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you have heard the saying, love always builds up and hatred always tears down. Love wants to see the best in people. Hate wants to see the worst happen to people. Another good saying is, we only believe as much of the Bible as we practice. So when one says they believe the Bible but do not practice certain part of it, it's really because they don't believe it and they don't want to follow its teachings. One last thought before we move on. This was a glaring fault in the Pharisees that they were careful about the minor matters and careless about the fundamentals. They broke the very law they thought they were defending. Jesus said to them, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the others undone. Matthew 23:23. If we fail to obey the most important thought, love thy neighbor as thyself, will we do any good in doing any of the other things? We need to show love, compassion. I don't know how many missionaries have said that it takes a while to gain the confidence of the people to whom they have gone, and they have to show love and compassion. That's what we need to show people today, is love and compassion. We cannot demand that they come to know the Lord as Savior and then walk away. We must show them compassion. We once again are going to find the thought of the return of Jesus Christ and judgment, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And it says, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Thank God for mercy. Never go before the throne of grace demanding justice. Go to the throne of grace begging mercy, and that we shall receive. Now, not all Christians agree as to the details of the future events, but the certainty of them none denies, and that is that Jesus Christ is coming again. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. The rewards are coming. Both Jesus and the Apostle Paul assure us that Christian believers will never be judged for their sins, but our works will be judged and rewarded. The gold, the silver, the precious stone, the wheat, hay, and stubble, that which will be burned and cast away, and that which remains. We will not lose our salvation, but what have our works been that the Lord can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Our words will be judged. They come from the heart. And may I say this, we need to guard our heart. We need to protect ourselves in this evil, sinful world. Our deeds will be judged. Our deeds are governed by our character and by the works and why we do them. What is our motive? What is the reason that we are doing what we think is good? Warren Wiersbe again writes, "We cannot sin lightly and serve faithfully. God forgives our sins when we confess them to Him, but He cannot change their consequences. Sins have consequences. And we will find that He will forgive us our sins, but He will not remove the consequences." One has asked the question, will He forgive sins that we deny our sins? Are there things that we do and defend it, some attitudes, some actions that we struggle with? We know our sin, but we are constantly saying, no, it's not, and we justify it. Can God forgive that sin? He says, if we confess them to Him, He will forgive us. Our attitudes will be judged. Having mercy or denying mercy. Our attitudes. Attitudes play a major part in life. My dad believed that, he believed that circumstances were 10% of life and attitude was 90% of life. That how we handled those things that came our way, our attitudes. Let me say this to you. How is your attitude in serving the Lord? How is your attitude in wanting to sing the songs of praise? What is your attitude of being right with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the designer of the world? So many people have a rotten attitude when it comes to Christianity and to Jesus Christ. They hold us accountable for all the evils in society as if we do it. Now, I know this, that many have said that they are Christian and then turned around and been vile and vulgar and evil. But what is your attitude about Jesus Christ and His love and His mercy? Now, mercy does not mean that we are soft on sin and look the other way. For sin is sin and must be judged. Mercy and judgment both come from God, and they are not competitors. In conclusion, where God finds repentance and faith, He is able to show mercy. Where He finds rebellion, He must administer justice. If the heart of the sinner, it is in the heart of the sinner that determines the treatment they get. Jesus Christ said, and let me read this to you, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." How is your relationship with Jesus Christ today? How is your attitude? It is a privilege to serve the Lord. It is a privilege to attend a house of God where the Word of God is proclaimed. It is a privilege to be asked to serve for the Lord. How is your attitude? How is your faith? Are you in a good relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We're grateful for your mercy, for your patience, for your love, for the salvation that is available only through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for gospel preaching churches. Thank you for those that proclaim the truth of the Word of God. Lord, may the Covenant Baptist Church remain faithful to you until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.